Welcome to episode 301 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us for our latest Winter Olympics special. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and I'm joined again today by Olympian and former Team GB ski across athlete, Emily Sarsfield. Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Ian. Thanks for having me again.
It's a pleasure. I believe it's been quite a busy day, like the first proper day of the vacances scolaires half-term holidays, and the roads have been a bit packed.
Yeah, it's just remarkable how this resort changes like overnight. Yesterday I was like, oh, this is not so bad. But oh my gosh, today with another probably about 40 centimetres of snow has fallen. So obviously all of the bus routes have changed. There's kind of the cars on the road which are not prepared for it. And it's just taken me what normally would be a 5-minute journey to get home over an hour and a half, which is at the end of a long day skiing in this condition is pretty intense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm back in the UK now. I'm in Brighton. I did ski on Saturday in Les Trois Vallées, starting in Brie-le-Bain, where I was staying. Last time we spoke, I was down there. And the links opened, so I was able to visit my daughter in Courchevel, which was great. And on the way, enjoyed some fantastic fresh powder just below the Shanrossa chair. But I'm now back here in the UK. I'll be sharing more about that trip, which included Nice and Isla 2000, episode 303, later this week. Let's turn to the Winter Olympics. Now, yesterday was so exciting. Presumably, Emily, you must have been delighted that there was another gold for GB in the skeleton.
Yeah, what they're calling it, Super Sunday or something like that. unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I am excited for him.
I was only joking, really, because the big story, of course, was a win for Charlotte Banks and Hugh Nightingale in the team snowboard cross. How exciting was that?
Yeah, unbelievable. And, you know, total redemption for Charlotte as well. So I am so stoked for her. Like, you could see when she finished that race how much emotion was kind of like part of it, because although she's kind of like, she's not a massive extrovert or anything, she's still a celebrator. She still celebrates when she does, and she literally just went over and collapsed on the kind of like finish surround. And I was just a bit like, that is just all the emotion in one.
She clearly was so focused, and after the disappointment in the individual, as you say, when she crossed the line, I've seen her win the world championships with her hands in the air cheering. She just won Olympic gold, and it was almost like she was in some kind of trance. I mean, you raced the ski cross at Pyeongchang in 2018, and evidently you're a skier, not a boarder, so there are differences, but it seemed to me that Charlotte Banks timed that run perfectly, using the slipstream to overtake just at the right time. Is that how it seemed to you? Is that what it's like when you're racing a ski cross?
One thing which I was surprised with Charlotte was like the start wasn't kind of like her forte, but she's just so good at the race craft. She just knows kind of like when to tuck in and when to take the opportunities. And luckily for her, which she'd calculated and totally knew tactically, she was obviously a goofy rider, which means that she kind of like turns with her toe wedge basically on those bottom two turns where she can really generate speed. And she knew that, and that's what she took advantage of. And I just think, being so experienced the way she is and being able to kind of like, yeah, just pull that off. And it was almost seamless. She didn't even care that she was in second. She just knew that she had that at the bottom.
It was great. It was really interesting. After you'd been talking about ski across, board across on those courses, as to whether you single, double, or sometimes triple on those dragon backs. And there was a point near the bottom, just before the overtake, where she chose to go high and the other girl stayed low, and she gained a lot of ground there, didn't she?
Yeah, totally. And that's the beauty of both ski cross and board across. It's those tactical awarenesses. If you're skiing or boarding kind of like suits like the jumps or not. And she just knows so well, and she could match so well off the back of that roller that she gained so much more speed. And there was no chance anyone was going to catch her off that last jump. So absolutely stoked for her. She totally deserved it. But Hugh also put her in the most, the best position possible. I mean, he was 0.14 off from winning.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to the interview that we carried in the last episode, you know, Hugh knows what his job is, and his job is to get as close as possible to the number one. Or, you know, I think realistically, he's not expecting to be the first person to cross the line, but he almost was. Therefore, she was in Charlotte Banks was in a great position. Now, we have to put this in context. It's Great Britain's first ever gold medal on snow. And evidently, with the game so far, there's been disappointment for Kirsty Muir and Mia Brooks. I wondered if you could put the importance of this medal into context in terms of GB snow sport.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. The difficult thing is GB snow sports kind of works off a multitude of different funding platforms. And the biggest one kind of would be kind of the national lottery funding, which, you know, your rowers and your cycling. And basically it's all done off who does well on medals. So when we saw kind of like the rowers do extremely well in 2012 and the cyclists, and there was a big injection of kind of cash into those sports, so then they could produce more talent and produce more medals in the future Olympic Games. And basically Britain have been waiting for that kind of breakthrough. We got it a little bit with Jenny Jones in the park and pipe, but it was kind of ring fence park and pipe. So that's kind of your slopestyle, your big air and those kind of events. And that's why we're now seeing the talents of Kirsty Muir and Mia Brooks, kind of who were kind of performing on that world stage. So the fact that we've got a breakthrough in a snowboard and kind of ski on snow discipline, hopefully that's going to really hope to kind of that future talent.
For sure, because, you know, UK Sport allocate their funding, you know, based on the likelihood of medals. And after Beijing, with no medals, the funding was cut. So all medals affect chances for athletes at future games. And I can assure you that among the most relieved will be GB Snow Sport CEO Vicky Gosling, because after the blank slate at Beijing, there's been so much pressure to improve this time around. And, you know, I'm so pleased for everybody who's involved, the athletes, but also everyone behind the scenes at GB Snow Sport as well. Regular listeners will know that I've known head coach Pat Sharples since we met when I was running Natives back in 2000s. And I'm so pleased for him too. And actually, I swapped a couple of messages with him on WhatsApp. He sent me some photos of him with, he managed to get a gold medal in his hand. Emily, any other comments about, you know, the impact on GB Snow Sport?
I think a lot of people don't realise kind of like how limited the funding is for the snow sports. I mean, if you just watched a documentary we talked about is with the free slalom guys on TNT, what is it? Keep Calm and Slalom. And that kind of just shows the behind the scenes and the reality of kind of like the fact that they don't get any funding at all. And they're working free athletes with free staff members who were doing pretty much like their cooking, massaging and absolutely being their drivers and everything. And the impact of this kind of things, it's absolutely huge.
It would be a good thing perhaps to talk to you in a separate episode about the funding side of things, because you know personally how difficult it is. But yeah, you know, the good news is a gold medal will help funding. So that's great. And Hugh and Charlotte joined Jenny Jones, Billy Morgan and Izzy Atkin as Winter Olympic medal winners for Team GB, GB Snow Sport. Unfortunately, the dream of Dave Riding joining them didn't happen. It was always a bit of a long shot, but Billy Major and Dave had solid performances in the men's slalom to finish 16th and 17th, respectively. That is it for Dave. He has retired now. You mentioned, Emily, how you've known him since he was much younger in his career. We're not going to try and do justice to his career in this episode. There'll be another time for that. But for now, listen, if you'd like to know more about him, take a listen to my special interview with him in episode 199. I'll put a link into the show notes. However, I would like to drop this short quote from that interview in here.
I will never stay the most successful British skier. I'll guarantee you that. And the next generation are ridiculously good, but I will always be the first one to get the win. And so I'm really proud of what I've been able to sort of push the bar to in British skiing. And then I can leave it to the next generation to take it further.
Any final thoughts on Dave the Rocket Riding, Emily?
I mean, the guy's an inspiration and he has inspired so many British kids. And not just the racers amongst us, the kids who are just going on holiday. I know my niece and nephew, he was here racing in Mirabel a couple of years back and they were there getting their signed postcards and stuff like that. And so the guy is an inspiration. He's basically dug in and just done it the hard way. He hasn't had it on a silver platter. You know, he's just dug in, been raw talent and worked really, really hard. I nearly swore then, Ian. But
Yeah, well, I know that you were working on the hill while the event was going on. I actually managed to watch it live. And I think it was quite revealing afterwards. He spoke with Shemi in a impromptu interview, essentially. He was just walking past and bumped, kind of gate crashed her interview with Hazel Irvin. And, you know, he comes across as being a good guy, and anyone who's met him will know he genuinely is one of the good guys. So all the best to him with whatever he chooses to do next. Now, coming up this evening, Kirsty Muir will be competing in the Ski Big Air. While we're recording this, it's been delayed a little bit because of the heavy snow. So we'll see what happens there. She qualified in fourth place. She obviously came fourth in the slopestyle. I wonder, Emily, if you think that's going to take the pressure off her a bit, as she hasn't qualified, let's say, in the medal position.
Yeah, I mean, I really do hope so for her. I mean, I think there's basically four skiers who are standout, and she's in that pack of four. So she kind of got the wrong side of it, didn't she, in the slopestyle. So I really do hope that kind of it goes her way tonight. She really does deserve it.
Well, sadly, and in a huge surprise, Mia Brooks didn't qualify for the snowboard slopestyle final. Now, I didn't watch this as I was travelling back to the UK at the time, but I kind of assumed she would qualify. She won the X Games slopestyle a month ago. On the BBC website, there is no coverage on there. There is no video and there is no report. I know she crashed on run one and put her hand down on run two, but it's a huge surprise and disappointment. You know, we wish her all the best. She's still very young at 19 and she will be back, I'm sure. Emily, you and I will be back tomorrow to discuss the Ski Big Air final, assuming it actually happens tonight.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for that, because it's been delayed by another half an hour. But listen up, if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love to know. You can leave a comment on Spotify, Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is @theskipodcast, or you can drop me an email to skipodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on WhatsApp for exclusive material released ahead of the podcast. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget you can get an additional discount if you use code SKIPODCAST when you book at insportrent.com, or simply take the link in your show notes. Right. For now, I'd like to thank Emily for joining me. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And I hope the roads are better for you tomorrow. And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.